Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. My name is Angelina Diana, and I'll be your host for this hour-long program. I'll be joining you every fourth Thursday of the month, and it's certainly an honor for me to be here. I want to let you know that this program is brought to you by Hugs from Heaven, turning loved ones' clothing into loving memories. Hugs from Heavens are pillows, blankets, shoulder wraps, and sachets, lovingly hand-sewn using the fabric from your loved ones' clothing. Each Hugs is unique as the loved one's spirit. Please visit hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, H-U-G-Z, from heaven.com. And we thank them very much for sponsoring tonight's special program. I hope you can stay with me for this hour. We have a very interesting show this week, and I hope you find it informative and healing. We'll be introducing a new feature this week called Ask the Medium. During this part of the program, it'll be my honor to answer your questions about mediumship and the other side. Near the end of the show, we're going to be offering a short healing meditation where we'll be hopefully extending all of our ability to send healing out to certain individuals who need it tonight. And for the bulk of the program, we'll have an exciting guest for you. And I'm really excited that this hour we'll be welcoming author Becky Hawkins to the program. Her books, Transitions, A Nurse's Education About Life and Death, chronicles the last days of her patients and provides some learning and healing for all of us. And it's a very hopeful and beautiful book. I had the opportunity to read it. And it really talks a lot about the transitions from the viewpoint of us watching our loved ones cross from a nurse's viewpoint, but also from someone who has heard such wonderful stories about those who are making that transition. So I certainly hope that you can join us and participate in tonight's discussion and even share your experiences or if you have questions for our tonight's guest. You can call us at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you do have a question for me or Becky, you can also email me at contact@angelinadiana.com. We'll be joining our guest shortly. Right now, we're going to move into a new feature, and I'm really excited about it. It's called Ask the Medium. If you do have a question about mediumship or your curiosity about how maybe a medium sees the other side or how the other side has worked through mediumship and maybe you want to be more aware of your loved ones around you, feel free to call with your question right now, 888-627-6080. I do want to say to you, we will not be doing readings at all. It's only if you have a specific question, or the best way to reach me is through email, contact@angelinadiana.com. And again, I want to say no readings, just questions. We do have a question that did come to us from a member of the Forever Family Foundation, and it's a very common one that I hear in my practice. And I think when we think about the other side and how they contact us, it could be on many different ways. And this question speaks to a certain way, and it kind of fits in with tonight's guest, kind of. The question comes from an FFF member. It says, I occasionally see visits or ghosts in my bedroom, which always makes me very scared and frightens me. Why should I not be afraid? Can you suggest anything that might help? Well, actually, I can. I do think that from a personal experience, when you receive a vision or you receive something from the other side, it always tends to happen when you are in a relaxed state of mind, So as you'll notice from the question from our emailed member, they said they see it before they go to bed at night. And of course, as you're winding down, getting ready to sleep, you tend to relax and put yourself in a daydream-like experience. So I'm saying by that statement that you're actually taking an opportunity there to welcome energy, not the physical world, but energy into your room. So a way to not be frightened about it is to ask spirit or ask your loved ones to come to you in a way that won't make you afraid. And to do it in an evidential way. So for example, if you had a visit, say, from your mother one night and it frightened you, not that I believe the other side would scare you. I believe it's our physical brain making us afraid because of all the Hollywood type of things we see out there, from ghosts, the movies that kind of scare us, those thrillers that make us jump out of our seat. The other side is not like that at all. They're very loving and very kind. So as I was saying, ask your mother, for example, look, the way that you paid a visit to me last night was beautiful, but it scared me. Can you perhaps next time visit me in my dreams? Or can you send me a physical sign that we had this conversation? And you will find that the other side will find another way to communicate with you. Now, as far as being afraid, I feel that there's no evidence out there that the other side would haunt you or scare you. If so, we'd be hearing it on the 6 o'clock news much more often than we do, which is never. I don't think that they have the intention to come to you. I don't feel that to hurt you. I don't think they ever can hurt you. So my suggestion would be, first, don't be afraid to ask spirit the way that you want to see them, how you would like them to come to you. And recognize that when you're in a daydream-like existence or an experience, you need to see or understand in your mind's eye that you're welcoming spirit, but you have the power to say, I don't want you to come to me this way, come to me another way. So I hope that helps you. Now, we do have a question on the line. Now, I do want to say, I'm not doing any readings tonight. This is pure question or ask the medium. So I'd like to welcome Helen from Florida on line two with a question for Ask the Medium this evening. Good evening, Helen.
Yes,
How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, do you have a question about mediumship for me?
Yes, I do. Can you please tell me what it means when you dream, you know, when you dream about your loved one that's already crossed over?
I certainly can. We alluded a little bit to that, to the earlier question from the FFF member. I want to let you know that...
Yeah, not the daydream. It's
right.
Like when you sleep at night and you have a dream and they're in your dream, but sometimes they're younger or, you know, than when they crossed.
Exactly.
What does that mean?
I do believe that you can have a visit with them in your dreams. So think about when you do have an experience like that, you obviously went to sleep, and when you go to sleep, you block out the physical world. And that's a prime opportunity for your spirit to be in a different level of consciousness so that you can meet up to the energy of where your loved one is. I feel when you do have a visit like that, it is them. It's your consciousness meeting up with theirs. And I want to say that when that happens, it's always positive. And usually remember the dream, and it's very vivid, right? Is that what happens to you?
Yes.
So they're visiting with you, and you're visiting with them. I have heard from other clients that sometimes the dream will be negative. And if that should happen, I do believe that is your consciousness kind of eking into or seeping into the connection you're making, and you're doubting them being there because your physical brain knows that they've crossed on. So usually I call that a combination dream, that when you have a positive experience, like I'm meeting up with you, and then it turns negative all of a sudden, that's your physical brain getting in there saying, oh my God, that can't be you, you're dead. So just remember, when you do have those dreams, Helen, it is your loved one, and they are visiting you and you're visiting them. I want to encourage you to try to be lucid in your dreams and try to ask them questions or ask a question before you go to bed. And you'll be, I think, pleasantly surprised when you get the answer back. And I hope that this has helped you and helped you clarify your ability to reach your loved ones, because I believe everyone can be a personal spirit communicator. So I hope this helped you.
Yes, it did. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. I really appreciate it. Have a good night.
Okay, thank you. And when are you going to do readings again?
The reading program now is actually hosted by a wonderful research medium. It's done every third Thursday of the month, and it's hosted by Doreen Malloy. And every third Thursday of the month, we'll be featuring one of our certified mediums, so please be sure to tune in. We'd love to hear from you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Thank you. Hey, and also if you get a chance to check out the Forever Family Foundation website, you'll find great events and informative topics that can help you grow towards understanding the continuity of life, even though a member has left the physical world. One event going on that helps the Forever Family bring interesting events and even this radio program like this to you tonight is the Earth Day Raffle in 2014. It's an opportunity for you to win up to 5 mediumship readings. It will be held on Tuesday, April 22nd, 2014. You're never out of a chance to win till all 5 winners have been chosen. Just imagine that you can purchase just one $5 chance and be in the running until all 5 mediumship readings are given away. You do not have to be present to win. For more information, please log on to foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Another event that's coming up from the Forever Family Foundation, it's really one of our popular events, and it's a very healing opportunity for you to be with like-minded people. It's called Transforming Grief, Building a Bridge Between Two Worlds. It's Friday, July 25th this year to Sunday, July 27th, a very special all-inclusive weekend of like-minded people. You can experience facilitators that are coming together to share, learn, and explore and discover. It's held in an intimate center within a beautiful setting. The retreat features small breakout sessions, a general presentation, all designed to open the minds of reality beyond this physical world. It'll be held at the Guest House Retreat and Conference Center in Connecticut. It was very successful last year. I heard from our membership, the mediums there and the speaker there just brought together a beautiful weekend. If you're interested again, please go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org for more information with that and all the wonderful programs that they offer. Okay, I'm your host, Angelina Diana. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk to this week's guest, Becky Hawkins, author of Transitions. You're listening to Sign of Life Radio. I'll be right back.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Evening. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Angelina Diana. You're listening to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. Just a quick programming note, Bob and Fran Ginsberg will be back next week for Signs of Life Radio with their very informative and brilliant guest, Dr. Julie Beischel, who is head of the Winbridge program. I had the honor of working with her through the Veritas program as a research medium, and you will love that program. She really has many new books on her research, one of them Among Mediums, and it'll be a very informative program next Thursday at 8 p.m. I hope you can join Bob and Fran. Well, what do the dying teach us? Have you ever witnessed a loved one having a deathbed vision? Did you ever receive some sort of personal evidence and proof and even comfort from that as you watched your loved one make their transition from this life to the next? Our guest, Becky Hawkins, is a registered nurse and a former hospice chaplain who has put together a beautiful collection of stories from patients who were facing end of life. She played close attention to each patient and learned a great deal about wisdom, humor, and courage. However, she was most intrigued about certain happenings that defy traditional medical thinking. Her book, Transition, A Nurse's Education About Life and Death, chronicles the last day of her patients and provides some learning and healing for the rest of us. Let's all welcome Becky to the Signs of Life program. Welcome, Becky. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Angelita. I'm just thrilled to be with you and your audience.
Well, you know, I've read the book, and it is a beautiful book and very intriguing. And I do want to encourage, if you're listening to the program, to go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org on information on how you can get the book, because it's a beautiful book. And if you're interested in participating in tonight's interview, you can call us at 888-627-6080. Now, I've read the book, and in your introduction, Becky, it's very interesting. I read that you're from a small town, and you do write an article, Beyond Statistics, in which you try to bring more thoughtfulness to everyone about how the medical field kind of looks at patients rather than a number. You really want to drive the point home that they're people. And I found it very interesting that you bravely wrote in this small town about, for example, near-death experiences or deathbed visions that you saw occur during your time working as a hospice nurse. Could you share with us some of the early reactions you received from people in your small town? Was it shocking or positive that you shared openly about these experiences?
Well, Angelina, I think the majority of people that responded to that were very positive because some of these people had these experiences themselves.
Wow.
And they felt like I was giving them a voice.
That's beautiful.
Yes. So they would say, oh my gosh, I read your article the other day, and you know, my mother was telling us who all she was seeing as she was getting ready to cross over. And so there are stories that come to me all the time from this small town that I live in northeast Oklahoma. After people have either read my book or they've seen my YouTube video or they have read my weekly column. It's been about 7 newspapers now. And so these people will call me, contact me, reach out to me and say, I would love to tell you my story.
It's beautiful. And I know, like in the introduction of your book, you speak about this woman who was 4 years old and had polio and she was very sick. Can you elaborate a little bit on what she shared with you?
Yes. That was another incident where I was at a fundraiser, a dinner party, and she came up to me and she said, I had a near-death experience when I was 4 years old. Can I share with you?
Wow.
And I said, oh, I would love it. And so I went to her home. I had helped her with her husband when he had died a few years before that. And so we knew each other well. And she said, Becky, I was just 4 years old. I had polio. We were in a Catholic hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This was many years ago. Mm. And our little beds were lined up, little white metal beds lined up against the wall, the nuns going back and forth taking care of us. And she said, I was in so much pain. It was terrible. She said, I was just miserable. But she said her father was with her at her bedside, and he was just trying to comfort her the best he knew how. And then all of a sudden, she said, she felt her body come, her spirit come up out of her body and hover above her bed. And she said she was looking around, and she was just so amazed that she didn't have any more pain. She wasn't hurting anymore at all. And that she just felt so good. And she could see the nuns running up and down the hallway, and she could see all the other children. And she said she was just surrounded in this unbelievable peace.
Wow.
Just wonderful peace. And then she said she noticed her dad, and that he was very concerned because he realized that she was trying to die. And she said as soon as she saw his concern, she immediately was back in her body.
Isn't that something?
Pain. Yeah, all the pain and everything.
And I would imagine with your background, you started as an aide of sorts in a nursing home, and then you became an RN and was drawn to oncology, and then eventually decided to move into the hospice area of care. I'm really curious what drew you there naturally. What was it about your experiences working in oncology that made you want to go to the healing side of your field?
Because of the experience that I had with these patients, hospice was still new in the early 80s when I was a new nurse.
Okay.
And what I discovered when I was visiting these patients at their homes was that I got the big picture. You know, I could meet all of the family. I got to meet the pet. I got to see the wedding pictures. Everything that surrounded this person, the total picture for them, gave me a better understanding of who I was being present to and how I was going to be able to help them during this time and help the family as well. It was much different than in the hospital.
And did you feel by experiencing that the dying had a lot to teach us? What was some of your initial feelings about moving from maybe a more hospital environment to more of a family environment? What do you think seeing that experience from a caretaker's point of view, from a professional side, being a nurse, and how you could help the family deal with the loss of that person? How did that translate for you, and what do you feel the dying have to tell us through that experience?
I think what I began to realize early on is that these people just needed to know that I was really there for them. That I was able to hear their complaints, hear their fears, receive their questions, and not judge them on any point. But it was as if, Angelina, they would look at me with eyes that said, can you see me? can you hear me? Can you be with me if I'm afraid or if I'm angry? And that taught me so much about the dynamics of being with someone that's critically ill, terminally ill, and being able to allow them to be who they are and to comfort them in whatever way I could. They helped me to learn how to comfort them and how to ask them the appropriate questions.
And that probably shows you the space of when the family dynamics are so different, how someone going through a transition can actually give you as a caretaker, not only a professional caretaker like yourself, or just a caretaker as a family member, how to deal with the dynamics of being with family, because that must be a very difficult thing. And I know there's probably people listening right now who are going through this very thing. So the fact that you just said something very powerful, when somebody is near that transition time, sometimes it's just a matter of listening.
Yes, that's the most important tool we carry in our bag, Angelina, everywhere we go. Whether I'm with the dying or I'm with the grieving, is to learn how to listen.
That's beautiful.
I don't have to know everything, but I can be present. And I think that is something that they really want to know. Yes, they want to know that I know my business and that I know how to give them the appropriate medications they need, and how to be present to their family members well, and walk them through this, help them understand, guide them, and be very present to as well their religious beliefs, mm-hmm. whatever they are, and judge no one. But to just come in with that attitude that I am with you, I will be with you, I will walk with you as
That's
far
beautiful.
As I'm able to walk.
That's beautiful. We're speaking with Becky Hawkins, who's the author of Transitions, A Nurse's Education About Life and Death. If you have a comment or have a question, you can call us at 888-627-6008. You know, Becky, I, when I read your book, I noticed in chapter 5, titled How the Cow Eats the Cabbage or Else, I love the name of your chapters, by the way. There's one patient that spoke to you, and I was really taken aback. Your writing is very, very direct and to the point. She basically said that she sounded irritated, basically, that, you know, she died twice. And then
yeah.
she had she saw and had the feeling of a piece of heaven. And when I read what Mary Catherine said to you, you know, she really did sound a little irritated about dying twice. And, you know, and I wondered from your viewpoint as a nurse, she must have been a very spirited woman. I wondered from your viewpoint as a nurse, how did that make you feel? Because she said so much packed in that sentence about, you know, I died twice and I got to feel heaven and then you made me come back. You know, what was your feeling from a nursing point of view with the spunk of this person? Can you share a little bit about Mary Catherine and about her visits from her husband, Henry?
Yes, this is what is so nice about being in the hospice program for a while, is that you learn from these people how to be with them. And this woman was very clear and direct from the moment that I came in. And she said, now listen here. She said, I've already been to heaven twice, and I was just entering into the heaven's gate. And somebody shot the snot out of me and brought me back twice and to be in this bed. And she said, now listen, I'm 80-some years old. I'm not going to get a heart transplant. My heart's failing. She said, I need to know that you're not going to try to resuscitate me if I go down while I'm here. She said, you know, I'm old, and I just need to be let alone. Let me just move on. I'm going to go on and be with my husband. He's already gone on to the other side. She said, I want to do that too. She said, do we have an agreement? Because if we don't, she said, I'm old, but I can have DNR tattooed across my chest. She said, I need to know that you're on my side.
Yeah.
I said, sweetheart, I am on your side, and I appreciate what you're saying. I will not try to do CPR on you. Hospice is about just being with you and being present to you and your needs to make you as comfortable as we can in this transition time. And
right.
She said, well, all right, then you just come right on in and we'll have a talk.
Right. But what I'm really, really I think what makes this book so beautiful is how frank your patients are about their experiences of dying twice and coming back. You know, I mean, that's nothing, you know, there's a lot of people who believe like I do that we transition to another place. There's many people who don't. And, you know, when we look at the medical field, there are quite a few medical folk, so to speak, that would argue with you. You know, when you're dead, you're dead. And I'm very beautifully touched about patients who frankly just say, I've seen heaven. I know what that's like. And I'm very curious for you, maybe your first experience of the commonality of seeing that in your work. When did you start seeing a trend, if you will, of many of your patients mentioning a near-death experience or a deathbed vision?
Well, right away, they will gain this trust and build this trust with you, and they trust you in a sense that they're not afraid anymore to tell their truth. They don't care whether you believe them or not, but they will speak to you and say, one little friend of mine that I was taking care of said, Becky, she liked to drink whiskey and smoke cigarettes, so she had this deep voice. She said, Becky, my sister's sitting over there in the corner of the room. She's been dead 14 years. She said, she's come here to help me cross over. She said, what do you think about that?
Wow, said, so matter of fact, right?
Yes. I said, honey, I think that's great. She said, well, I told her to cool her jets. I'm not ready yet.
Wow.
Now, but when I went back the next day, she was gone.
Oh, bless her heart. Now, when they say something that profound, are they physically almost semi unconscious, or are they awake like you and I?
No, not all of them. Some of them are telling me things just as they're beginning to pass. They're reaching for family members, and they'll speak their name, or they will mention there are angels in the room. Mm-hmm. I've got a very favorite story, if it's okay if I share it.
Oh, please do. Please do.
This precious little minister, Pentecostal minister, was dying from the radiation and chemo that had been done to him in the 70s, his heart and his lungs were failing. And so that's why he was having his experience with dying. And he was not afraid of death. He was not afraid, but his wife was. And so I was trying to help them both through this because he wanted her to not be so frightened. And he wanted to know that someone would be there with him. And sure enough, I got the call one day after I'd spent weeks with them, and she was very alarmed, and she said, Becky, please hurry. I think he's leaving us. And I reassured her, told her to go get the neighbor, and that I would be there as soon as I could, and tried to remember what I had shared with her. And when I got there, he was very, very blue. He was losing oxygenated blood. He just was not doing well at all. And he said, can you get me back in my bed? He was in his recliner. I literally picked the little fella up, carried him to his bed, his hospital bed, and then I got in behind him, and I straddled him and held him straight up so he could get air better.
Right.
And he raised his arm up, and he said, oh, sweetheart, do you see them? I said, no, sir, tell me what you're seeing. He said, Becky, there are angels all over here on the right side of the ceiling. Wow. They're all over here on the left side. He said, I've got to go. And he called to his wife, and he said, Annie, I love you. I'll see you again. And he raised his arm up higher, and he said, my Lord and my God. And he fell back against me, and he was gone.
Wow. I'm sure you've had many experiences like that. How long were you involved in the hospice field?
Well, I started working in oncology in 1980, and it was a few years after that I did hospice. And I did it as a hospice nurse. I became a hospice chaplain. I did volunteer work and got a volunteer organization going with hospice in the early stages there. And now I'm retired, and I just visit people and see many people. that are in the community, and then also in my family. The last chapter is about my brother.
That's right. That's right. Since we've gone there, do you want to share a little bit about your brother?
Well, yes, that he had the good fortune of having a near-death experience a year before he passed. He'd just been diagnosed with lung cancer, and the tumor was wrapped around his aorta and all through his lungs. And they told us, we cannot save your brother. We can buy him some time, but we can't save him. And he said, that's what I want. So we were just getting ready to have the first oncology appointment, and it was about, a few days away, and we'd gone to a sister's birthday party, came back, and he started chilling. Fever was going up, and I said, can I take you to the hospital? You perhaps need some antibiotics or something. He said, no, I'll call you if I feel worse. He was a tough old welder and had been through so much in his life, and he was just not afraid of having a little pain or discomfort. So I got home, and I got the phone call from him, and all I heard was gasping. And I said, I'm on my way. I'm calling an ambulance. And I called our dad, who was in the other part of the house. And I said, Daddy, get into Jeffrey. Get him up. It could be that he's got some kind of occlusion in his airway. I've got an ambulance on the way. And it took me 20 minutes to get there, and I got there, and they were loading him on the gurney. And he was blue, very blue, but he was breathing. So go to the hospital. We're there for 10 days. Start the radiation. Start the chemo. And after that, go back home, and you know with radiation, you got to go every day.
Right.
So I'm driving him to Tulsa one day, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, you know, I about died that night at the house. And I said, well, no kidding. You were purple. And he tapped me again. He said, no, you're not listening to me. I about died. And then I knew, and I turned to him, and I said, what did you see? Our mother died in 2002, and she was approaching him on his left side.
Wow.
Because he said he had been choking, and then he was out of his body in this warm, beautiful place, and here comes our mother on his left side.
Wow.
On his right side, Angelina, his best friend had committed suicide the year before, and he was approaching me. And my brother said, oh, please, not yet. I need more time. And my mother turned to him and said, then breathe, son. Breathe.
Wow.
And he was back in, he was in the ambulance.
Wow.
He said, what do you think? And I said, what do you think? He said, I think they bought me some time.
Wow.
And the thing that was so wonderful for him, because we were taught when we were little kids that if anybody committed suicide, they went to a scary place called hell.
That's right, but it's not true.
Right. Wow. And my brother was terrified because he'd lived a really rough life.
Aww.
He believed in God, but he was really concerned about this life he'd lived.
Sure.
This gave him new hope.
That's so beautiful. That's very beautiful. I'm very curious, because I want to talk about, after this question, I want to talk about the story you write in chapter 27 titled No Fear of Dying, because I think that kind of speaks to what your brother experienced. But I'm curious, something just struck me with your experience in the hospice field, being a nurse, eventually being a chaplain. I've had the good fortune of meeting quite a few hospice nurses, and they have the same experiences that you have of seeing so many experiences of deathbed visions with their patients or even near-death experiences. And the one thing they always seem to say is, how come we can't make this more educational or speak about it more in the medical field? And I'm kind of curious if you've ever had any run-ins with doctors or the establishment, so to speak. How do you present this in a way with your experience so that it might not put a nurse in a position where they might lose their job, but they can share it in a way so that it might open up the way people think about what they see every day in their work?
Well, I think we're beginning to see some of this, especially with Dr. Evan Alexander's book,
mm-hmm.
Proof of Heaven.
That's
and
true.
His the way that he talks to the medical community and the way he talks to the nurses, so that these nurses are beginning to gain their voices, find their voices, and be able to share with people that maybe are not right there in their hospital, but maybe in a blog. But there's so much confidentiality you have to, you know, be sure about. You know, I made sure my stories didn't reveal anybody's identity.
Right.
And so you have to be careful about that. But to also, I think, and hope for a time where we can come together as nurses, chaplains, in different settings and talk and share and help people understand. Because,
absolutely.
Yes, there are so many that say, I don't care what you say, I don't believe that. And I respect everyone's choice to be that way. I think
sure.
they're going to be wonderfully surprised one day. But
there you go.
Until then, I think it's good that we keep having shows like you're having, where we talk to people. And I'm going to keep writing. I'm going to keep writing their stories. I'm going to keep telling their stories. My YouTube video, I share a great deal with people about what these patients have taught me about life and death, and that we need to listen and hear what they have to say. You don't have to believe it right away. Just hear them. And let it sink into your heart and your spirit. And
that's
then
beautiful.
Perhaps pray about it and think about it. It's not religion. It's spiritual.
That's right.
All faiths. There's people from all faiths, and I know you know this, that have these experiences.
Exactly. It's very true. We're speaking with Becky Hawkins, the author of Transitions, A Nurse's Education About Life and Death. We're going to take a short break and come back with more with Becky Hawkins, and you're listening to Signs of Life. We'll be right back.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.kamlak.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. I'm your host for this hour's show, Angelina Diana. Another reminder that next week's programming, Bob and Fran Ginsberg will return back with their special guest, Dr. Judy Beischel. Okay, we're back with our guest, Becky Hawkins, who's written a wonderful book, Transitions, A Nurse's Education About Life and Death. It's such a pleasure to have you here. Becky, we really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a thrill to be here.
Now, during the commercial break, we were talking about one of your chapters, chapter 27, which is titled No Fear of Dying. Can you tell us a little bit about Frank? This story is so beautiful. Would you mind sharing with our audience about him?
Yes, I knew Frank for many, many years. Hometown boy, went to World War II and came back and was very proud of his service. And I just knew him just about all of my life. So when it came time for him to have hospice, I was very, very honored to get to spend time with him. And he was very frank about his conversation when it came to dying. And he would speak right up. And one day when I was in there doing some paperwork with him, he said, "You know, Becky, I'm not afraid to die." And I said, "Well, you aren't." I said, "Tell me why." And he said, "Well, I already did that." I said, "Oh, you did?" I said, "Can you tell me what happened?" And he said, "Well, last year I was having a real terrible pain in my abdomen, and I told my wife, we got to get to the hospital. We got to get there now. Something's wrong." And he said, "We got there, and all of a sudden I realized that I wasn't doing very well. And these people were rushing around me and working around me just trying to take care of me. And then I realized I was out of my body, and I was sliding down this beautiful slide into this beautiful blue water, and everything was just so peaceful, and I didn't have any more pain inside of me, and I just felt full of love. It was just all so good. And then I could hear my wife's voice, and she was saying, 'Please, please come back to me. Please don't leave me. Please don't leave me.'" He said, "I turned myself over. I grabbed a hold of that slide on both sides, and I pulled myself up, and all of a sudden I realized I was back in that ER. And he said, "There was so much noise, so much commotion." He said, "Don't you think that's kind of strange? That out of all of that noise, all that commotion that was going on in that room, I didn't hear any of that. All I heard was her voice."
Wow. "Please come back." That's so beautiful. That tells us a lot about a separation of body and survival of consciousness. And the fact that he came from someone that you knew already, and then he confided in you about something so personal but beautiful, right?
Yes.
It's really something.
And I was with him when he passed, and he passed very peacefully.
Wow. You know what I can't believe is that our time is starting to wind up so quickly. But before we let you go, I do want to remind everybody that Becky Hawkins is an author of a book called Transitions, A Nurse's Education About Life and Death. And we're not going to have, unfortunately, time to talk about that other story. But I do want people to consider picking up the book because it's fabulous. I told her off air she has to get this to Dr. Oz. I can see her on that show. So you got to send him a copy of this. But I was hoping you can give us, if I told you to sum up, if it's possible, a final word to our listening audience about maybe one of the most important lessons you've learned from your patients, because we did start this off by saying, what do the dying teach us? So could you give us a beautiful sentence to end this beautiful interview that we've had?
Yes. One of the major things that they taught me was that I need to learn how to love, you know, my family, my friends, and the stranger on the street, and understand that it's a gift to be here, and that our love is very, very important. The love that comes to us from whatever you want to call God, connect with that and allow that love to flow through you and connect with others, because it's a brief journey, even if you live to be 110.
Wow. That's so beautiful, Becky. It's been such an honor and a privilege to interview this hour. And I hope maybe we can have you on again, because there's so much more that you talk about, for example, how to sit with the grieving. And there's just so much this book has to offer. I'd like to invite you on the show again, and we can talk more. I want to thank you for being a part of Signs of Life Radio. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Angelina.
Have a good night. Thank you. As we end the program right now, I'd like to open up very quickly a circle of healing energy to everyone who's listening to the program. And healing in numbers is a very powerful thing. So if you're listening to this show, I'd like you to close your eyes and picture a world, as Becky spoke about just a few moments ago, a world where we respect each other, we walk with loving intention, but we send healing to those who need it. Close your eyes and picture this world as we send beautiful healing to the following people: Olivia from Ludlow, Massachusetts, Sharika from Las Vegas. Send some healing energy to Tammy's 12-year-old daughter and Brianna from South Hadley, Massachusetts. Send healing to Yvonne from Huntsville, North Carolina. We want to send some love and healing to Beth, who wants to hear from their father and sister. We also want to send healing to Melissa's dad from South Windsor. And we also want to send healing thoughts to Debbie Smith, who's been through a lot in her life right now and wants to send love to her family. Please also close your eyes and send healing to Jessica to Agawam, John from Wethersfield, Janice from Hartford, and John from Wethersfield. Also, Susan Serrato, who lives in West Haven, Connecticut. And for those that we couldn't mention, we will mention them through our thoughts and healing by sensing those who need that extra support. Just know that love comes from within, and if we walk with loving intention, everyone will feel it, and hopefully that healing will happen. And if there's any issues going on in the world tonight, where someone feels alone and they feel like they don't have anyone by their side, just send an extra healing thought to them as well this evening. My name is Angelina Diana, host of Signs of Life Radio this week for the Forever Family Foundation. It's been a privilege and honor to spend this hour with you. And I just want to say good night by saying this one thing. Just remember, your loved ones are only a heartbeat away. Good night, everybody.